Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Farrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. We're very pleased now to be joined by Mike DeCourcy. He is with the Sporting News, senior basketball writer, does a terrific job covering college basketball. Mike, how are you?
I'm very well, Jimmy. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. I hope that everything is okay in your world with all this craziness that's out there.
So far, so good. Feel for everybody who's had to deal with it at a much higher level than me. Hopefully we can get back to normal fairly soon.
Yeah. Eve Pons announces he's returning to Tennessee. First off, did that surprise you at all?
No, because a player with Eve's skill set, I mean, the fact that he has an international passport makes him very marketable on the international scene. But with his skill set at this point, you have to be a better offensive player to play in today's NBA. You have to be able to do more with the basketball. And he's not there yet. And so the idea that he'll never be there, I'm not ready to get on board with that. I think that's the only reason you just say, okay, I'm not going to be, I'm never going to be an offensive player. I'm just going to be able to block shots and make close-in shots. I think he's capable of doing more than that. And I think he showed signs of that at times last year, but you have to be able to do it at a really high level to stay in the NBA. I think that there's time for him to do that this year. And I do think that we're seeing the concern in the part of a lot of players that there may not be a G League in 2020-21, and that being in college with a guaranteed roof over your head and a place to play and train and compete and all of that is maybe preferable to sitting around wondering, when basketball is going to start up in other places.
Do you think that Pons can improve his ball handling and outside shooting to the point where he could be a first-round draft pick?
I'm not sure. The ball handling, I would say probably not, but I think that's less important for a player of his size. I think you have to be able to move, and defend screens certainly has that. And it really helps if you can make perimeter shots, especially from three-point range, but even if you can just step off a screen and do a little pick and pop from 16 feet, there's a value to that. I do think it's possible. I believe any player, if they really dedicate themselves to it, and if they need coaching on their form, are willing to accept it, and if they're willing to spend the time on it, I just don't believe that anybody's shot is irredeemable.
Mike, what about the point that maybe he won't put up the numbers or have the opportunities even offensively with what's being added to this roster next year? What do you think about that?
Numbers are not important to the NBA. They really don't care. They care what you're capable of doing. Now, if you have the opportunities and you can't do anything with them, that bothers them. But in terms of how he averaged 14 points a game or 13 points a game or whatever, they don't care at all. They care if you shoot a high number, and they certainly want to see you block a lot of shots if you can, and he has certainly shown that that's a very strong asset of his game. So they want you to rebound. That's huge. Those are the numbers that they worry about. Point production is something that fans think about, and coaches think about it in terms of winning games. If they're setting you up for shots and you're not making them, coaches aren't going to be happy. But if that's not your role in their offense, they're not going to sweat it.
With what Pons brings defensively, especially as a starting point, as the reigning defensive player of the year in the SEC, and then what Tennessee brings in adding Victor Bailey, the Oregon transfer, some of those five-star freshmen as well, how much improved of a defensive team do you think Tennessee will be this coming season?
Well, they're going to rely some on young players, so those players have to get in with what Rick likes to do, and as you mentioned, the transfer as well has to adjust to the system. I don't know if improved on defense is the issue as much as improved on offense is what they have to be. I think they have to be more productive at that end, and the defense, I think that will somewhat take care of itself. Rick's one of the really great defensive coaches in college basketball. When you start with a shot blocker with Eve's ability, they're going to find a way to be a really good defensive team. It was hard for them a year ago because they started out with one group and finished with another, and really struggled to recover from that. You don't anticipate that sort of thing happening this time around, so that the group will be together. They need some strong defense against the ball. I think the point guard position, that's the one question mark that you have about the Vols. I think everything else is going to be high end, and if the point guard position is adequate or better, I think that there's not much that they can't accomplish this year.
I guess Mike DeCourcy, he's a senior college basketball writer of The Sporting News. Mike, I've seen Tennessee ranked in the top 10 in some preseason polls. There are a ton of them out there. I've seen them ranked number 20. Where would you project Tennessee now that it has Pons back in the fold?
Yeah, I'd put them closer to the better side of that, somewhere in the range of number 10, whether it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, but somewhere in that ballpark. I do expect that's what they'll be coming into this year. The SEC is an interesting league this year because they had a lot of players return along with Eve. Isaiah Joe at Arkansas is another. Obviously Alabama got John Petty back. Florida, Scotty Lewis, I don't think even entered. If he did, it wasn't for very long. So there's a lot of ability around the SEC, but I don't think anybody in terms of proven players has more going for them at this point than Tennessee does. And I really like the Vols. Kentucky, you don't really know exactly. I mean, they got a lot of high-end players, and it's high-end players in a better class than last year's was. But they're all, they didn't keep anybody around, and that's, so it's going to be a challenge for them. Whether or not they have a John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins group, I'm not sure that they do. But they might have, they might have a group that's equal to or better than the P.J. Washington group of 2018. And so it'll be interesting to see what they're capable of, but it's going to be a really good SEC race. LSU, I forgot to mention them. They got three guys back in one day, and that was huge for the Tigers as well.
You mentioned the importance of having adequate or better play at the point guard for Tennessee, and I want to get your take on Victor Bailey, the transfer. I have heard rave reviews from a lot of people that watched him in practice last year and so far this year. What are your thoughts on Victor Bailey, and could he answer that question at the point guard position?
Yeah, I'm not – I got to be honest. I didn't see enough of him in the past to give you a really good read on him. I have to be – just to be frank, I could fake it, but I really haven't seen enough of him to know whether he's that guy. But I do think they have a few options, and so I do think it'll be covered. I'm just saying that's the one element of the game in terms of lineup that you don't have a pretty proven guy. You lost Bowden as well, so you lost some shooting there. But I think Josiah Jordan James is going to have a big step forward this year. Last year was as much about opportunity as anything. I think he'll have a really strong season as a sophomore.
Mike, nationally, you're seeing some people have Villanova at the top. Some people have the Zags at the top. Duke, I'm sure, number one in some. I think Vegas is in line with those three as the best odds. Who would you favor as we sit right now as your projected number one team?
There's some others that have had Baylor too, and I would lean toward Baylor over Duke. I'm not sure that. That I love Duke's group as much as some others. I think they're going to be very strong. Don't get me wrong. And Mike's, the best there's ever been. So I think they're going to have a great year, but I'm not sure that I like them as much as I like Baylor's group or Villanova's group or Gonzaga's. And Gonzaga's kind of the one that I lean toward a little bit. They have a chance to build up, you know, a really excellent resume. They have that chance to build up that confidence. It'll be interesting to see what happens with them if we are put in a position in the college basketball season like the college football season, where conference-only play becomes the norm. I don't know what that does to Gonzaga's ability to say, hey, you know, we're still great. You know, just because we're beating up on the WCC doesn't mean we still can't beat up on Carolina or Michigan or whomever if we got the chance.
Well, you actually led into my next question. I was going to ask you, we haven't really talked about basketball's potential impact with COVID because there's been so much emphasis on football. What else do you think could potentially be altered with the basketball season as we sit right now?
Well, I think the timing is potential to be altered. And a lot of that plays comes down to how football plays out. How does football go? I mean, we had the Big Ten announced today their redesigned regular season, conference games only, stretching from basically Labor Day to the first weekend in December with flexibility built in to stretch all the way to the third week of December if necessary, bye weeks built in. So if that goes off the way that they've designed it without a lot of interruptions, and I do think that it's going to be on the players at every school. How much do you want to play? You can't be guaranteed that you're not going to have somebody that picks up the virus because they went to the 7-Eleven or whatever. You can't be sure. And excuse me, I shouldn't say the 7-Eleven, the convenience store. I'm not saying 7-Eleven is a problem. The convenience store. You can't be sure that someone might not do that. But I mean, most of the stories we've seen are when we've seen athlete breakouts, most of the stories then get traced back to somebody went to a bar or went to a party. They said that about Louisville today. It was said about Rutgers earlier in the week. The Orlando Pride back when they couldn't play in the NWSL tournament. It seems like, again, there's no guarantees that it's not going to be a problem from some routine daily activity, but if the athletes keep themselves out of those difficult situations, the odds of a football season taking place and subsequently a basketball season and all the other intercollegiate sports, the odds go so much higher.
Stay away from those gentlemen's clubs. I wanted to ask you about this. A very reputable, really good basketball reporter has picked Alabama to be the highest-ranked team from the SEC. Would that surprise you if Alabama's the best team in the league?
A little bit, but not a ton. I mean, I like their guys. I do think it's going to be very competitive because most of the teams that brought back veteran players, like I just went through the list, with the exception of LSU, which went, I think, 12-6 in the league last year, something like that, most of the teams that are in that mix that brought back veteran players and have ability weren't overwhelming a year ago. They were either adequate or maybe a little under the line of where they wanted to be. And so I think that it's sort of like, okay, which coach do you like? You know, which group do you like? And then, of course, the Kentucky factor, not really knowing what they're going to look like. So if someone said Alabama or Arkansas, LSU probably has a little bit more proven talent than some others, but probably a few more holes than some others as well. Florida, which again fit that same description that I talked about, not really having a great year last year, but not having a bad one. So it just really, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those teams that I rattled off there, including the Vols, obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those were picked by someone in particular to win the league.
All right, I got one more question. It kind of centers around the NBA. 10 years from now, who will we say is the better NBA player, Ja Morant or Zion Williamson?
Ooh, that's a great question. It really is. I think Zion, if he stays healthy, And yeah, there is, you know, I never quite bought into the idea that he was going to break down because he's so big. But you do have that, you know, that nagging thing, like, what if he does? But I think Zion is really special. I do think that what he brings to the court, very few have ever done. I wrote about it a year ago, a little less than a year ago, after he started to become a star. Maybe that was 2 years ago. I wrote that, you know, people who were trying to compare him to Charles Barkley or this guy or the other guy are totally missing the point. There's never been a player like Zion. I mean, 6'7", 280-ish pounds, who can fly above the rim like that. There's never been anybody close to that. Barkley could get up, but not like this guy, and he didn't ever weigh 200. You know, when he weighed 280, he couldn't get up like this guy. those guys, there's just never been anybody like Zion, and I think the NBA is going to have a hard time dealing with him.
I agree. Hey, Mike, it's so great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and we look forward to talking with you again down the road during basketball season.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Jimmy. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Mike. Mike DeCourcy, senior basketball writer, The Sporting News.